7500 to hold the whole cast. I'm Jared Grimsey, as always, and alongside James Rushton this week, as Robert can't join us. He's got another fancy dinner, but how's it going, James?
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I wish I was having a fancy dinner. It seems like Robert's got one every day. Have him on Snapchat, don't I? All these menus and whatever he's cooking up this time, flying around. So, yeah, nice to join you, Jack.
Yeah, he's a really good cook, and as time, why didn't you post pictures of what you made the other day on Twitter, because we always are joking that we're going to start a cooking podcast, but he's like, oh, I can't believe I forgot to do that. But yeah, we didn't have an episode last week, which means it's been a couple matches since you guys heard from us last, and two matches, two more losses, pretty much just how it goes for Villa these days.
Yeah, it's been, I'll just consider it one long, horrible match. Everton and Watford, same mistakes. It was just, I don't know how to describe it, Jack. I don't want to talk about it, to be honest.
I mean, at least one thing you could say is that Everton are a pretty good team, which
yeah.
Robert and I were talking about it. He's like, yeah, Villa and Everton, they should be shooting for the same things, and maybe idealistically, yeah, you'd like to be in the same spots. And then we kind of said that Everton probably wouldn't be going for Europa League or place this year even, but I don't know. They've looked really good lately.
Yeah, everyone looks better than Aston Villa at the moment. But yeah, Everton are a club, I think Aston Villa, it's like the benchmark. They should be at least around or higher than Everton, if not under them. Of course, we're under them right now. But I'd consider Everton the equals to Aston Villa. We should be aiming to be like Everton, yeah.
I mean, I think there are a lot of similarities if you just look at really Everton and Villa, the two big clubs, or the two clubs that are not in the set of so-called big clubs that have been ever presence in the Premier League.
No, when you invited me to come on, one of the things I was thinking about talking about is, you know, Aston Villa in this group and West Ham are in it. It seems to be Newcastle. We're bunched in now with Newcastle and Sunderland, and our performances will seem to mirror them for what seems like an eternity now. They go down, we'll go down with them. They come back up, we'll come back up with them. And it's a shame because we did used to be a club like Everton, you know, aiming for mid-table, if not European places. It doesn't seem like that anymore. It seems like we've fallen out of that. But quite a prestigious group. West Ham have seemed to have taken our place and we seem to have dropped down. So it is a shame, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to give credit to West Ham. They've bought smart and they've had good players that they've done the job for them. And really, I think just stability starts from the manager position, I guess. And you can see why Villa are in so much turmoil if you just look at who's been in charge the past 5 years.
I mean, it seems like a stupid thing to put on it, but I just don't think we've had the luck other teams have had. I think it's one of the things we'll come on to. But with Watford, you could say maybe all of their goals were down to luck. And I know RJ had a piece on it earlier about luck and deflections and goals. It doesn't seem like we get, you know, that chance, that divine like right to score a goal that other teams do. And it does suck. I mean, going down every week and, you know, see the deflection going off someone's shin pad, you know. It's like,
The chairman of the Chicago Villa Lions, Simon Lee-Chu, he says, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, we'd have no luck. So,
yeah. I mean, you got to be thankful. I mean, we're not in, you know, in the midst of a financial storm like other teams, we're not being dragged down to like League Two or the Conference like other teams have been. So yeah, I'm thankful that we're in this situation, but it just seems like we are the worst team in the Premier League, undoubtedly. Maybe all right at football, but you know, 20th place and 5 points doesn't prove that at all, no.
Yeah, and I mean, at some point you really just have to stop making excuses, but
yeah.
if you're just looking at Watford, like you're saying, all of their goals, starting with their first goal in the 16th minute, it was just a pinball goal, really.
Yeah, exactly. The one goal I do have to give credit for is Deeney's goal. It was a vicious, he attacked the ball. And that's something Villa don't do. They wait for it, even Gestede, he'll wait for it to come on and they'll play it on. Deeney ran at Kieran Clark, muscled him out, attacked the ball, scored a goal. And you don't see Villa do that. Maybe luck does come into it, but you don't see Villa players aggressively go for the ball. And they don't, it's like there's no fight. I know you can't really judge football on fight and grit and all that, you know, cold Tuesday night at Stoke and all that. But you don't see Aston Villa players go for it. There's only one player that goes for it. It's Michael Richards, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at some point you make your own luck, and but I think a lot of that is like what Watford, they just had confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it was a. So I mean, we'll probably come on to this, but it wasn't a good night at Villa Park. It was a very uncomfortable night. Vicious, division in the fans. And you know, after everything that's happened in the world, it was an uncomfortable football match to be at. And yeah, losing to Watford, it just there's no words. I'm getting upset thinking about it. God.
But you did mention Micah Richards, and that was a great header, and
Yeah, I
you
mean.
should see a lot more of that from him. And he's always someone who's going forward.
It is a contradiction when I say, you know, no Villa player attacks the ball, but there's so much similarity in the way Deeney's goal and Richards' goal is they both just aimed that they had it's a one track mind, they knew what they was gonna do and they scored. So yeah, I mean if we had Michael Richards as a striker, you might see a bit more goals. But yeah, unfortunately we've got Ayew, he's tricky, he's good. But I mean I'll keep coming back to this point. Benteke was a complete player. And it seems like we've bought four players to make one Benteke.
Yeah,
So.
you can't put 14 players on at a time,
No,
though.
exactly, yeah. So yeah, it does look like we're in a bit of struggle. And Mark Richards is someone I always look to. He's made, you know, he does have the mickey taken out of him about, you know, how he speaks, what he says, you know, how he plays, and he does his little runs up the middle. But yeah, I think he is an inspiration. He should be. He is an inspiration to the rest of the Villa players. That's how I would want, you know, the other 10 players to play.
I think he'd run into the brick wall if Remy Gard told him to, honestly.
Yeah, no, he. I mean, if we go down, I know we'll lose him, and that'll be something I'll be devastated about. Michael Richards, he's slowly, well, not slowly, but he's become my favourite Villa player because he embodies everything that, you know, you would feel and I would feel about being a, if, you know, a Villa fan and a Villa player, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And it's, you know, at the start of the season, oh, he's already saying, oh, he's already the captain. He just got here. He's
Yeah.
just been signed. He's a mercenary, whatever. But really, I don't know, perfect example of what the captain should be.
Yeah, this isn't water vodka, by this is like just straight vodka. So being a Villa fan, it's just yeah, I mean Mark Richards, Alan Hutton's another favourite of mine. He's not a Premiership quality player. He isn't a technically gifted footballer, but he's someone who gives it all and leaves it all on the pitch. And I mean, that's all we need right now. I mean, we're in a bad place. We're going to have to make our own luck, as you said. We're going to have to score scrappy goals. We're going to have to play horrible football to get out of this. There's no way we can play Remy Gard, you know, what he would want to get out of this. Other teams would destroy us if we play a high line. We've just got to fight for every single point now because we're the bottom. We're the worst team, and we've got to change people's opinions of us as well as, you know, slowly climb our way out of this relegation zone.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we were just talking about the bad luck, but I think when Gomes got injured, that was just terrible luck because I think he's the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League. He's always been shaky.
Yeah, I mean, like Gomez is the type of player you'd expect, you know. When he got injured, it was a nasty injury, obviously, from the hole, and you can't see that. So everyone was a bit taking the piss out of him. But it was a horrible injury, and he was a shaky goalkeeper. And obviously, you have this, you know, the substitute keeper come on, and there's always this stigma they're gonna play their skins out. The guy looked nervous. What I can't pronounce his last name, so I won't, you know, embarrass myself trying to. But when he came on, he did, you know, he played out of his skin for Watford. He saved a few crucial shots that were, you know, would have if Gomez was still playing, they would have went in.
Yeah, he spilled one, and Gomes had dropped two that were really within a couple feet of
No,
Villa
yeah.
players, but they just weren't able to get on the end of it.
What's funny about the Watford match as well is how Brad Guzan suddenly turned into, you know, Brad Guzan of like 2 or 3 years ago when he was arguably the Premier League's best goalkeeper.
Yeah, when
He's
he
saved.
like single-handedly saved us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a stats guy. I don't look at the stats. You know, I don't use them in my, you know, analysis of football team. And so I probably should do now in this sort of modern age, you know, where we're taking more stats on board and, you know, our view of footballers. But Brad Guzan, I mean, his kicking is terrible. His distribution is piss poor. It's not Championship. It's not even League One quality. Brad Guzan cannot kick a ball at all. But his
I mean,
shot
you
stopping.
don't need the stats to tell you that.
Yeah, his shot stopping was like sublime. I think it was very unfortunate for him to let 3 goals in. That does not reflect how well he played.
Yeah, I mean the Hutton own goal was terribly unlucky, like we said. And
yeah,
I mean, Dini did well, and Igalo, I mean, he still had to finish the first one, but it just shows you that's why Watford are where they are and we're where we are.
Yeah, I mean, Watford seem like a team, you know, that have that mentality of fight for every point, and it's working for them. Aston Villa look like they're in a crisis of confidence. They look shook. They look rocked. And I think there's this mindset now, and it has been there for a few years, when they go a goal down, the game's over. That's it. They won't try and fight back. And they did. They did fight back, but it was a set-piece goal. But when they go a goal under, that's it for them. They know they've lost the game already.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's what it's been, like you said, for a while. And I mean, but under Sherwood, it was almost like, now we'll just flip on the switch.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess just thinking of the semi-final against Liverpool.
I don't think there's much secrets left out, you know, now more about how the team's run and everything. But you see this weird thing. I mean, with Paul Lambert, we played some solid defensive football. We didn't score at all, but we didn't concede either, and that helped us in the long run. And I think the players must have felt maybe we've been held back by this manager. So when Sherwood comes in, they play out of their skins. Then they realise these same problems are creeping in. You know, they go a goal behind, they don't score. And it does seem like the mentality of the squad, I don't think it can be changed.
No matter how many new faces you bring in.
I mean, we better not sack Remy Gard, because there's nothing, there is not one thing I think he can do himself to change us right now. We're in a tailspin. And hopefully, you know, they can get a bit of confidence back, a bit of, you know, morale back, and get back to playing the football we know they can play. We haven't got a bad squad, but it does look like just rocked. They need a therapist or something, you know. Maybe should employ some therapists instead of recruitment committee we've got going on right now. But yeah.
Yeah, stop worrying about who you're going to sign in the future. You have to get these current players to save the club so you can sign someone in the future.
Like, as I said, we've got four players to replace one, and none of them are matching up to them. But that's not the problem. We've got a squad of good players. Gisted's a good player. AU's a good player. Perrottet's a good player. Ganna's a good player. Sanchez is a good player, you know. They're just, whether it's a lack of chemistry and a lack of confidence, I think there's a lot of problems at Aston Villa that maybe aren't to do with the ownership or the management, but possibly more to do with how the players are connecting on the pitch. I mean, some attitudes. It's a sink or swim thing. When we go down, you see Michael Richards on the pitch flapping his arm and getting everyone riled up. But you'll see some people like Carlos Sanchez and Jordan Veretout and Jordan Ayew, and they just look defeated. They're new. Most of them are new here, and they know the narrative. We go a goal down, we won't get back into it, no matter how good they play or how good they do. They just don't have. It's like there's no mentality there of trying to win the match.
I think really they should blame their agents, because I don't know if they really knew what they were getting into signing up.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, how would I feel if I was Jordan Veretout? I could be at Leicester, you know what I mean? I could be at Leicester, top of the league.
Yeah, I was reading something about him, and he just moved to Villa. He uprooted his family, his wife and or his girlfriend, I don't know, and his 2-month-old or 2-week-old son, and then he was just leading the bench at Villa when he could have went to Leicester. But
you can tell the future. I mean, you'd have thought Aston Villa were on the up this year.
Yeah, but since we were talking player personnel, let's jump into the Twitter questions. And one of our writers, Ellis Sanford, said, if we get relegated, who stays and who goes? And this is really the most difficult year, because I think the last 3 years, if Villa had gone down, they really would have ended up being okay. Like, Benteke would have been gone, but whatever. Now it was just kind of a transitional year. A lot of players on higher wages than the past couple of years, really.
Who goes? Most of the team. I imagine Carlos Sanchez would go. I imagine Jordan Veretout would go. Jordan Ayew. Jordan Amavi, I'm not too sure. He obviously was injured, so I'm pretty sure he's staying at Villa next year. I really hope Mark Richards doesn't go, because he's the type of player we really need.
Yeah, my roommate's actually been asking me too. He was saying, do you think Grealish stays? And I say, yeah, just because he's a Villa boy. But if he wasn't, there'd be no chance.
I don't know. I mean, when all the Jack Grealish hype was there and Chelsea were after him before he signed his contract.
But they just want him the same reason that City wanted Delph.
Exactly. Jack Grealish isn't a proven Premier League player. Carlos Hill looks a lot more complete than him. He still suffers from a bit of immaturity to his game, a bit of greediness that he needs to let go, possibly on the back of, you know, all the national team stuff. I mean, I think if we do go down, Jack Grealish want to take a look at himself and maybe go, hang on a minute, I can really make a name for myself here in the Championship. This is my ability. This is where I can push on to the next level. I hope he stays because, you know, he's from Birmingham. He's, you know, just a bit younger than me. He's in the Aston Villa team. He's someone that I can, you know, kind of relate to. And if he goes, will it be the best move for him? That's the thing. That's the question that's got to be asked.
I mean, it wouldn't even really help him if he ends up going to Chelsea and just be a squad player. Like Chelsea, what you were playing the whole year in the Championship.
Yeah, the joke is, you know, they have a whole team of players that are out on loan. Jack Grealish should just be another one of them. And you've got to ask, you know, you've got to look at the Chelsea people that are out on loan. And you can't put Jack Grealish in the same league as them. They're miles better than them. They're solid Premier League quality. Jack Grealish is a very up and down player right now. He needs to get his head screwed on, definitely. And he does need to start playing consistent football.
Yeah, and I mean, I think training and playing with the U21s will be good for him for a while. As much as he was being immature by going out and partying after the game, it's kind of hard to blame him. Like, every Villa fans is just getting drunk after the games because it's depressing.
Obviously can't blame at all. But I think it's more what I've been thinking about is it's more so not what they want everyone to abide by the same rules. I guess there's a huge emphasis on fitness and discipline at the club now. If some players are told that they can't go out drinking and one does go out drinking, they've got to be punished the same way, even if they are Jack Grealish or not. So it's just one of those things. I think the media have looked a bit too much into it, but it's just a player getting punished for breaking the rules, I guess. So that's all there is to it, I guess.
Yeah, and no, I don't think it's the worst punishment ever to go train with the U21s when you're under 21.
Yeah.
You're not playing like you deserve your place in the squad. So
I'm glad you said that because you've absolutely nailed it, haven't you? He's an under 21 player. He's still got a lot to learn at, you know, Premier League level. So he should be realistically training with the under 21 team in the first place.
Yeah, you can't, like, it's not out of a normal development for someone just because he was, he had a great year at the end of last year, but.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you said it. He had a great year at the end of last year. If he wants to move to Chelsea or wants to move to Manchester United, he's got to be a good player for an entire year. He can't just have one good match or two good matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Jack Grealish. I mean, he's a kid, isn't he? He'll learn. And hopefully, fingers crossed, not just for Aston Villa. And, you know, I really want to be selfish and say Jack Grealish will stay forever and he'll be this club legend. But, you know, fair play to him if he can get a move to a really good, a massive team. I mean, Villa are a big club, no doubt about it. But, you know, every kid's dream must be to play for Manchester United. You know, especially in England, they surpass football. So if he wants to get that done, he needs to start playing football and acting like an adult.
Yeah, and I mean, it's up to Villa as well. The other players will have to raise the level of the team if Villa want to keep him. You can't blame him if we're still toiling around the relegation zone and Liverpool comes in for him like now or something because they just look great under Klopp. But anyways, let's get to another Twitter question from Simon Ray. Who would you like to see join the club, leave the club in the January transfer window?
Join the club. I would say Charlie Austin, to be quite honest. Charlie Austin, we do need someone who can just score from anywhere. Charlie Austin he goes beyond football in the fact that he does seem to have this knack for finding the goal. I mean, obviously, you don't want to buy a footballer just on knacks and instincts, but it does seem like he can score goals from absolutely anywhere. And I think that is someone we need just to kick the football to and score. We spend too much time getting lost in midfield. We put too much pressure on people like Carlos Sanchez and Berrettou, and especially Ganna as well. We put too much emphasis on these players holding possession and losing the football, essentially, because it's obvious to me, so it must be obvious to club scouts that if you hammer Villa in the midfield, they'll stumble. So we do need someone we can get the ball to who will score those scrappy goals that we all need that are getting scored against us. But yeah, who would you want then, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I think Austin's a good shout because the rumored fee is around 8 million. And if it was going to be 15 in the summer, 8 in January, free next summer, I mean, of course, it doesn't matter if it'll go down. Yeah. It's not going to do anything. I was thinking about a goalkeeper, but like you said, Brad Guzan's been looking better. And
I mean,
the only reason is you just need someone to push you in training, and Mark Bunn doesn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, we do need to sign someone we can rely on in goalkeeper. We have got Brad Guzan. Brad Guzan's an excellent goalkeeper, but he's not. Well, he's an excellent goalkeeper at shot stopping. If shots come at him, he'll, you know, 9 times out of 10 he will save them, unless he spills it or drops it. But yeah, in terms of instincts and reflexes, Brad Guzan can't be matched. It's just his footballing ability that lets him down. But we're at the bottom of the table. We'll have to rely on reflexes and instincts of a goalkeeper to keep us out. So yeah, I'd want to stick with Brad Guzan. Nah. But yeah, I mean, the other side of the question is who leaves.
That's difficult too, because you have to imagine that it won't really be, we won't be signing a player, but we'll probably be bringing a left back into the mix, because Joe Bennett's loan will end at Bournemouth. He hasn't played at all there.
Yeah.
And Ali Sissoko, he's played 2 games at Porto, so he could probably come back, especially because he's worked under guard in the past.
Yeah. I think getting a left back to back will be crucial to the team. Even so, Kieran Richardson didn't do terribly against Watford. He did.
Yeah, came up with an assist.
Solid 5 out of 10. You know what I mean? It's not the usual Kieran Richardson we expect. So hopefully he's got his act together and managing to play as a serviceable left back. But in terms of who leaves in January, I don't think he'd want to let anyone go at all.
What about Gabby? That's been
I don't think, you know what, I think we go down to the Championship, he'll end up being our top scorer again. It's just him, isn't it?
I would be happy for him then, because he's a local guy as well, and all the baby mama drama he has. I think he's genuinely a nice guy.
Yeah, I can't see Gabby leaving now. I think his ability has definitely declined over the years. His physical abilities are still, you know, top notch, you know, his strength and his pace, but he's not a very good footballer at all anymore. He used to be pretty tasty as a footballer. He got in the England squad a few times. Football's evolved a lot since then, as we've brought a lot of new continental techniques, and we're trying to emulate German clubs and Spanish clubs and French clubs in the way we play football. Running really fast and hitting the ball really hard won't cut it at Premier League level anymore.
Yeah, but next year in the Championship, though.
Yeah, I mean, Championship, I think we'll see.
Guzan kick it all the way up to Big Rudy, and he'll nod it onto Gabby. He'll run behind Richard Dawson.
Back when Football Manager 2008 came out, I was really excited about Emil Heskey and Brad Guzan. So I drew out this tactic. I couldn't wait for it to come out in November. So all the way from August, I was drawing up my tactics as a, you know, a 16-year-old schoolboy. And my tactic was Brad Guzan can kick it really hard to Emil Heskey, who will header it in. And, you know, as someone, I didn't understand football tactics at the time. I thought you just kick it really hard on the pitch. And so, yeah, that was definitely something that maybe we can look forward to in the Championship. Not to disrespect any other clubs down there. I'm sure they're pretty good at playing possession and direct-based football. But maybe we'll get to see some, you know, dirty Route 1 stuff.
It's just more prone to have errors when you have to play so many matches. You have to rotate the squad that much. And
yeah.
You know,
The Championship would definitely be a trial, a proper baptism by fire for Aston Villa, because if we do drop down to it, you know, people are saying, look at what happened to Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds. Unfortunately, we aren't Sheffield Wednesday or Leeds.
Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton. But
because I just heard the BBC Five Live podcast the other day talking about them, and someone at Bolton was saying, well, we spent a lot the first 3 years and the parachute payments dried up because we thought we could bounce back up. And now that we didn't, we're really screwed.
Yeah. The thing is, no disrespect to Bolton or Leeds. Well, Leeds are a massive, if there's one equal to Aston Villa in the lower leagues of football, definitely be Leeds, their footballing pedigree.
I would even say Forest as well.
Yeah, Forest.
You know, European titles.
Even Derby. There's a few big clubs down there, massive clubs that would be bigger than some in the Premier League. So if we go down, we haven't been as mismanaged as some clubs were. If we don't come back up, I can see us coming straight back up, to be quite honest. We've got Nathan Baker, Callum Robinson. We've got a lot of players that we can stick in the squad that will be very serviceable in the Championship. If we don't come up, then it's time to worry.
But if we're not even in the playoff places,
it'd be really, definitely.
If you end up getting third and, you know, just bad break goes your way at the wrong time.
Yeah.
If you're toiling for another year.
The Championship, it's very snatch and grab. Birmingham City aren't a bad football team, as much as I hate to say it. But, you know, they didn't come straight back up when they went down. They had good players. You know, Villa have better. But, you know, that you'd have expected them to come back up.
Yeah, the best tweet I saw a couple weeks ago was, next year Villa and Chelsea are going to be throttling everyone in the Championship. I don't know. I think Newcastle actually have a decent squad. Of course, they'd probably lose a lot of it, though. But
yeah, the problem, Newcastle have the same problem as Aston Villa, is that they just can't find a way to play football. They've got a really good squad. They haven't got like the worst manager in the world, but they just can't find this a way to bring football back to basics and actually score goals. I mean, the outlier would be them putting six past Norwich, but, you know, they're still in a bad position. I wouldn't want to be in Newcastle.
It's Norwich. I think for that game, we just need to give Lampard a one-game contract because he would always destroy them. But
yeah, exactly.
Let's look at the other side of the coin, talking about we have a good squad that's really underperforming. You know, I think Leicester, I still don't think they have a good squad.
Yeah, they're just playing beyond their abilities.
And I guess it's kind of like what Lambert did at Norwich, getting back-to-back promotions. I think any time you get back-to-back promotions, your squad is massively overperforming. But anyways, on 7500 this week, Herbert Crowther had an article about how Leicester's great escape, and I mean, you can still see they've just kicked on from Christmas last year when they had 10 points, ended the season on 41, and look at them now. Still flying.
Leicester have mastered playing basic football. Their teammates will probably take a bullet for each other. This mix of chemistry, simple attacking football has worked wonders for them. The pace, I know we laughed about it earlier, Ellis made an article and we all laughed about the pace of Jamie Vardy, but that player's electric. As much as I don't like him as a person, Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy, they're electric together, and it's worked wonders for them. There's just these two players have changed their season, as good as the rest of the team would be, and these two players have hit, you know, explosive vein of form that doesn't seem to, you know, be in sight of ending. And let me ask you this, Jack, like, could you see two players in Villa emulating them, Mahrez and Vardy?
I don't know. Someone that really impressed me last week was Traore, just when he came on and he was...
Yeah, fingers crossed.
When he's off the ball, he's maybe one of the laziest players I've ever seen. He was just walking around when Watford were in possession on the other side of the pitch. But I don't know. He's got something. He's special.
So
when you can come in and just burn someone, but I don't know if he has the stamina to go every game. You know, you need two players that are going to be really reliable.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Veretu. Another one is Richards, but at center back, he's not really getting that chance to go forward and create anything.
No, he's not. And he's a bit dazzling when he runs forward, Michael Richards. He does seem to never lose the ball. I mean, he probably has a few times.
Like Vlaar. You know, Vlaar would always, he would dribble.
Yeah, and Vlaar would take free kicks and never score.
It just always makes me so nervous when your center back is going forward.
Yeah, I think that's what we need, though, isn't it? We can't rely on our strikers to score goals. We can't rely on, you know, our attacking midfielders to create goals anymore.
Because they never get the ball.
Yeah, that's true. one of the things that I ask myself as well is Carl Ozil as good a footballer as everyone thinks he is? And the answer would be yes, in a way. But I think people are learning to play against him now. You just mark him and he will never get the ball. He's too small.
He's almost a luxury player in the way that Darren Bent was for us a couple years ago, and that you can't afford to put him in the side when you have to be scrappy.
No, completely agree. We all argued the toss when Tim Sherwood wasn't playing him at the end of last year, but you can kind of see why, because he's a very limited player. He's very technically gifted. He's not physically gifted, though. He does seem to run out of stamina. He does seem to run out at the end of matches where he can't play football anymore.
And he gets elbowed in the face and the ref doesn't do anything.
Exactly. He's
just because he happens to be at elbow height of the guy, you can't elbow him in the face.
Exactly. I think English in the Premier League defenders are huge. They're, you know, like physical specimens. You can't expect Carlos Hill to run at these guys and beat them. No. Our winger, we got Traore, which is perfect. He's a massive brute.
He's a brick.
Yeah, and Scott Sinclair on the van can just dance through. So we've got the perfect winger duo, but then we've got no link up in the middle. And we've got two very dainty players in Carlos Hill and Jack Grealish.
They definitely both can't be in the same side.
Exactly, yeah. And it is a shame. But yeah, we're going to have to rely on someone else other than those two to make goals.
Yeah, but next year in the championship, though, here in Grealish and whoever else.
Fantastic.
Sinclair's a proven championship superstar.
You know how stupid the appointment of, well, the purchase of Adama Traore looks now. I'd now be like 20th.
Yeah, just what was the point? Because he'll end up going.
He isn't gone in January. He's on like, the rumor is that he's on like about £75,000 a week.
Yeah, because he's made enough appearances that his original wage packet doubled.
It doesn't make me shake my head at how this club is run, because it's not like Portsmouth or Leeds where we'll buy loads of expensive players to try and stay in the Premier League. We'll just buy one and then hope it works.
And I think a lot of, you could have put a lot of hope into Jordan Amavi, and it's massively unlucky that he went down, especially now that we have a French boss, because you think, oh, the pieces are just right for him to kick on. But
yeah, I mean, even with Amavi getting injured, Kieran Richardson isn't that much of a liability. That like, he will lose us every match if you know, it's just a left back at the end of the day. Yeah, you can exploit that position, but you have to ask questions of the other 10 players on the pitch. Are they performing? Are they stepping up their game in the absence of one of our, you know, admittedly star players?
Yeah, exactly. Like you were saying, he gives you a 5 out of 10 every day at the worst, 6 out of 10 at the best. But you can only have so many of those players in the team,
yeah.
Especially right now. It's, you can't just maintain the level you're playing.
Yeah, definitely. So if we look to emulate Leicester's great escape, I think everyone will really have to step up their game and learn to like playing with each other.
Yeah. I guess before we get to Southampton, I guess that you could just talk a bit about your From the Stands piece in that environment at Villa Park for the Watford game. Sorry to piss you off again.
No, it's no problem. I've got a season ticket at Villa Park with my dad, and he couldn't work. He couldn't go to Villa Park because he's working this weekend. So I had the pleasure to take my girlfriend to her first ever Villa match. She'd been asking me because she'd seen the Mets play, and we went to New York, we saw the Mets. And it was amazing. You know, you could get a hot dog and a beer and just watch people smack a ball really hard with a wooden bat. And it was amazing. And they lost and everything, but it's just, there's nothing better than watching a fat dude smack a ball off an apple. Like, everyone applaud it. So I guess she was expecting that same vibe. But when you go to Villa Park, especially now, the atmosphere is vicious. You know, you got people throwing programs at, you know, chucking them drunk and angry into the hole end. And you've got a lot of viciousness in the fact that the players are getting booed for every single mistake now, because everyone realises how desperate it is. You know, if Carlos Sanchez is a pretty good player and he makes one mistake that like, leads to a goal, he just gets booed. And, you know, that's not what we want. Well, unfortunately, that's what the situation has created. This atmosphere at Villa Park is extremely toxic. We you know, it was a 3-2 game. And if you ignore the fact that the opposition was Watford, you know, 3-2 is a pretty decent result. We, you know, we fought back from 3-1 back to 3-2, and it did, things didn't work out for us at the end. But there was definitely a lot of positives to take from the fact that, you know, Jordan Ayew scored a goal out of nowhere. You know, that doesn't happen to clubs in the bottom end. That's something to be, you know, look forward to. But we still have this massive boost at the end of, you know, a loss, and a lot more losses are coming if we continue to play this way. And where does the relationship break between the players and the fans if they're just getting booed at every single mistake?
Yeah, it's just a really toxic environment that, you know, it's not a good way to foster success, but
yeah, but
it is what it is. It's, you have to win.
Yeah, I mean, if you go down to Villa Park to watch football, and it's come to the point now where I don't expect wins. I don't even expect goals anymore. I just expect to see something that'll make me, you know, go, wow, that was fun for 30 seconds. But considering what I'm paying for a season ticket, it's making me not in a sense regret my purchase, which may sound stupid to you. You know, as a fan from over the States, you'd probably do a load of things just to get to Villa Park again. But being so close to the ground, it just seems so much of an effort to get, you know, this 20-minute train to Villa Park and then pay £40 a month for your season ticket just to see it all collapse every single or every other Saturday.
Well, it's almost like if you're just going to a funeral or something, you know?
Yeah, no, you're spot on there, because it is, the atmosphere is sacked, especially with all the stuff that's happened with Brigada. They've been, you know, kicked out, and they're stamping down on the fans, and it just looks like, oh God, there's arguments with the stewards, you know, fans are arguing with the fans are booing the players, and it's like, where there's no fun here anymore. This is not a fun place to be. It's not a comfortable place to be, especially when you're walking home after every single, and I'm not lying here, Jack, every single home game, and you're just getting, we're in Birmingham and we're getting made fun of by fans from, you know, London, Manchester, Wales. You know what I mean? We'll have to walk past them, they're on the coach back, and it's just like, in a sense, it's local pride just goes out the window. You know,
a guy at work the other day was just talking about soccer and says, who's your team? And I tell him Aston Villa, and he goes, why? He's like, are you from Birmingham or something? And I was like, no. And I was like, well, who's your team? And he's like, well, in England, I like Chelsea, but my number one all time is Real Madrid.
Oh, man, that's like, my number like, one all time.
That's a Mecca for you, but like, I was like, oh, Real, like, not doing too good now. And then they at least we didn't put a disqualified player in a cup match and gonna get kicked out. Like,
but
for as big as they are, they're terrible right now.
After all of this, after being 20th, it is Villa Park. Aston Villa is still an amazing club to support. We got like this beautiful Victorian name, and you know, the club's set in a unique position. The stadium's next to an amazing, like, Victorian mansion. You know, it's surrounded by a little park and a little forest. It is an idyllic little football club now. Surely it's not in the same vein as it was. We're not going to be European champions for a long time. We're probably not going to win a trophy for a long time, but Aston Villa is still a club you can be proud to, you know, support, in the sense that they're unique. Not every other club has a stadium based right in the city, in the heart of the city, but Aston Villa have kept this, you know, their original location, and that's amazing. You know, all these little things make them amazing to support.
Yeah, and I mean, just thinking about like the cup run last year, that really just gave everyone something to be proud of. Even if, you know, well, we're going to finish 15th, but we're having a cup run, and then next year, I don't know, maybe we'll do 12th. But
yeah, definitely. In the absence of like success, you really find out what being a football fan is all about, you know, supporting soccer or football. It's all about these tiny, there's always this joke that American fans, you know, wouldn't take to soccer because of nil-nil scoreless draws. But we've seen Manchester City evolve into the game. Did it, you know, who would have thought a game with no, you know, scores or goals would result in something like that, you know?
Yeah, it's just nerve-wracking, especially when you expect to be conceding at any moment, and then Guzan saves it from his face off Sterling.
Yeah.
What a way.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. But yeah, I was thinking the other day, I mean, I do enjoy doing the From the Stands pieces. Where's the point where they just get to start standing the same? I mean, I've seen about 2 goals, you know, up the whole end. I've seen no wins. I've barely seen some good play. So where does it get to the point where it's suddenly just writing about how bad things are all of the time?
I think that's why Robert really wanted to do Dead Week was just everyone,
No,
anything
yeah.
around Novello is just dreadful, but
Maybe time for another one soon.
let's hope not. I was saying, like, we were having the scheduling conflict this week, maybe before I asked if you would join us or join me, I guess. And he's like, we should just stop doing it until the bastards win. I
No.
like, well, maybe we'd end up never doing a podcast again. And there's a guy who tweeted in September or something, this will be my last tweet until Villa win.
Oh my God.
And I saw it retweeted the other day and clicked on his profile, and he was like, pretty active tweeter, and nothing's.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at a loss for words about. I don't even know where our next win comes from. You know, it can't be Watford at home.
All right, well, let's get to Southampton away. That's
Yeah. Oh God.
how we're going to close the show
A
with.
great link.
I
But
mean, Saints,
Southampton.
they're not having the year they wanted. They're 10th, but still with 20 points and a positive goal difference of three.
What
It's
would
not
you do to be in that
gonna
position, though? As
literally
Arsenal, yeah,
anything.
exactly. I mean, it's bad for Southampton, but it's even worse for us that they're coming off being smashed by Liverpool 6-1. I would not. I'm scared about watching this match.
I mean, especially because last time it was a 6-1 against us, and Liverpool beat them 6-1, and they had just six shots on target. They all went in. And
As I
they're
said,
not going to have that horrible luck again, you know?
yeah, I really hope that we can learn to play conservatively and defensively and maybe scrap 3 points. We will not win if we try and attack, and it is pointless doing so because they are coming out to, show the world that they aren't a team that gets beaten 6-1. They're going to come out and aim to put as many goals past us as they possibly can to appease fans that were disappointed by being knocked out of the Capital One Cup. So I haven't got high hopes for this match. As much as not optimistic as I try to be, I'm saying it could be four at least to Southampton by half time.
Yeah,
Much
it's
talent
really
about
has
all
the
that.
potential to get ugly.
Yeah, it really does.
I
We're gonna
mean,
have to just take this one as it is.
yeah, and I mean, we played them in the League Cup. We were knocked out by them. Didn't score until the 90th minute,
No,
at which
yeah.
point it didn't even matter. But it continued our string of one goal losses. But
Yeah,
really, I
if I'm
mean, the
if I
goal's
do
got it. Someone's got to find the
yeah.
goal.
If I do look for a positive, it would be that Aston Villa have the potential to frustrate Southampton if they play a certain way, and it isn't a way Aston Villa usually play, where they punt the football up to the pitch, get scrappy fouls in and tactical fouls. But yeah, we'll have to look for them to play a certain style of football that we'll have to become accustomed to seeing if we were to survive.
I think set pieces were good last week, actually against Watford, as and I've lost my camera, but
Yeah, it's okay. As long as I can still hear your voice, Jack.
yeah, and I but re, you know when Richard scored the header, and it was actually crossed in, not taken as a shot on
Yeah.
target, but I don't know. I think that's something that when you're a struggling team, you can take set pieces and build from that.
Oh no, certainly. If as long as I practice stuff on the training ground, maybe we can get a goal from a corner or a free kick. I can't see us scoring, having much chances from open play. But if we can frustrate and open up a gap for Southampton to have to, lure them into drawing the fouls in attractive areas around the box or corners, we can certainly grab one or two goals from set pieces because we've certainly got the physical ability to do so.
Yeah, and you're saying about frustrating them, frustrating the fans. The fans will be anxious to see goals
Oh
after that
yeah.
last performance, and if they've had a few chances and they don't capitalize on them in the first half,
Oh yeah.
then who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it's like how you beat Spurs is you get their fans pissed off and then they boo their own team.
Yeah, exactly. You've just got to try and sit back until half time. Don't try not to get anyone sent off, but you've got to play really defensively. Maybe don't even bring Carlos. Don't start Carlos Sanchez in. Don't start Carlos Sanchez. Bring him on in the second half as someone who can just be a rock in the centre,
And
and
pick up a yellow card late if you
exactly.
need it.
because we'll certainly, if we play the way I hope we'll play, we'll get a few yellow cards and we'll definitely get someone sent off in the second half, because we're going to have to play dirty to even get anywhere in this game.
I mean, it's what you have to do when you're in this position. Look at what Rudy just did against Manchester City. He's never going to throw the ball like that at Joe Hart if we're not last, but you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah, you have to do. And it is funny because we're in an age now where we have books that can teach the typical fan the beauty behind tactics. We can analyse, we can cross-reference, we can look at how Barcelona play football as if it's, you know, they're in water and they're swimming. We can, you know, look at teams like Real Madrid. We can look at teams like Fiorentina and, you know, Napoli, and we can try and emulate these styles. But at the end of the day, when you're 20th in the Premier League, you're going to have to go back to playing basic football, which is being aggressive, kicking the ball really hard, and hoping that you score somehow. We will not score playing the football that everyone expects from football these days.
Yeah, you have to really work your socks off and just chase everything down no matter what, you know?
I mean, I feel like such a hypocrite because I am a fan of teams that can play free-flowing attacking styles and attractive football, possession-based football. But all this analysis, previews, and, you know, before the match, speaking about how they're playing, after the match, trying to analyse what went wrong, it all goes out the window when you're on 5 points at the bottom and you've got the worst start in Premier League history. You have to just get any win you can. You can't hope that, oh, there might be something we can change next time. You're going to have to treat every single game as an individual game, not hope to build into a certain style, because it won't happen. We will be potentially facing losing 10, 11 players, you know, everyone we bought in the summer, if we go down. So hopefully we'll have to scrap a few wins and hope we can build into some sort of style. Otherwise, we'll face this position where we're hoping just for a bit of luck to break our way.
Yeah, personally, I'd be okay with if you're playing rugby the whole time, if we end up at the end of the day.
Yeah, we have this commenter on the site. I don't know if you noticed, Jack, but he or she always speaks about playing Big Sam football. I don't think Big Sam Allardyce is a proponent of horrible football. I've seen a lot of worse teams play a lot worse football. But,
I think he makes the most out of the squad he usually has, you know?
We have to play aggressively. We have to play dirty. We have to play horrible football. We're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to go to Stoke, 2007-style Stoke, Tony Pulis Stoke, to get anywhere.
I mean, frankly, it doesn't matter, because if you can try again Premier League next year if you survive and try to play good ball.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Sherwood tried to do it, and behind all his tactical ineptness, it might have been something that is a situation he couldn't change, and it's a situation Remy Gard won't be able to change. I'm not sure, you know, in all of his footballing education, the Wenger and at Lyon, that he thought he'd be playing scrappy football. But as is the situation, he has to become a chameleon and adapt to where we are. I don't think...
I mean, his team's had Gomez as a striker for some of the time he was there. So I think he did that in circles, you know.
But yeah, definitely. If we go down, I hope that he stays the manager, because he does look like someone who has a strong interest in football as a sport. He wants to learn and grow and hopefully mould Aston Villa into his team. And I don't think Paul Lambert would have been good if he went down. There was someone he could grow into his team. Tim Sherwood as well. But we are constantly stuck at this position where we have to go, oh God, we better do something, otherwise we'll go down. But maybe going down will be an absolute blessing, where we can build a team, like seriously build and nurture a team and a philosophy that will hopefully guide us to a position where, like Bournemouth and Stoke, teams that go up and are explosive, you know, teams that stay up. Even Wigan, for God's sake, a few years ago when I came up, I stayed up a few years. So hopefully building into a team, going back to basics, stripping the side and nurturing into a team that has a certain style and a method of playing football, maybe it'll be the best thing for us to grow all these youngsters into a side playing real football in the Championship together.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if going back to the Stone Age doesn't work for us this year, I think
Yeah.
You obviously we'll be able to outclass people next year, but yeah, I think that's all we have for this week.
Yeah, there's not much to talk about, unfortunately, is there? It's a case of, you know, we were bad last week, the week before that as well, and we will likely be bad this week and the week after.
There's definitely no reason to believe otherwise, but
no, but
fingers
crossed we get a point against Southampton. Everyone else on Facebook and Twitter knows we're going to lose. I am being an optimist, and I'll hopefully go for a 1-1. I mean, that is really being optimistic, a 1-1. But that's a result I would be really happy with, if not a win.
All right, I'm going to go for 2-2 then.
Nice, yeah. I say any variation of a draw would be fantastic. 4-4, 5-5, whatever.
No, that was fine.
Yeah. I just want to see some goals, some football, and hopefully something to go home happy about.
Yeah, some goals for us would be great. Remember, we're still on iTunes, so if you want to leave us a review there, that'd be greatly appreciated. Stitcher, we're on the Google Play Store now, Blog Talk Radio, of course, and YouTube. So I want to thank you for joining us this week, James.
No problem. Apologies about being so depressed. I came into this with an upbeat attitude, but talking about Aston Villa is probably the worst in me.
It's kind of impossible not to
be, but I completely agree. It is bad right now. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and I guess match Saturday. Saturday's at 3 GMT, 10 Eastern. So we'll have all the coverage for you at 7500holt.com. James on Facebook, as always, getting our page up there. And I think Robert will be back on Twitter. So for James, I've been Jack Grimsey. We want to thank you for joining us on the Holtcast.